KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribbling, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
I'm Brent Weber. Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings on this Wednesday night, the 16th of October. Thanks for joining us. My guest tonight is going to be a good friend of mine, longtime sportscaster. He's covered everything from the Max Prep scene, pretty much from the beginning, to the Los Angeles area teams, San Diego area teams, and more. His name is Jake Downey. He'll be my guest. Wanted to let you know this week, our game of the week, Friday night from Foothill High School. We'll have Foothill and a big matchup, entertaining Enterprise. Big opportunity for Enterprise. They've got to get a W somewhere. Foothill would be a very tough place to get it. That'll be coming your way Friday night. Pregame at 7:15, kickoff at 7:30. So be sure and join us then. On the big overall picture, a couple of things we're looking at. The baseball playoffs, the Astros, a couple of wins away from winning the American League. That won't be easy, of course. Their game for tonight, scheduled with the Yankees, has been postponed to tomorrow because of bad weather in the Bronx. And so no reason for you not to stick around and listen to an interview with Jake. If you love baseball, if you like baseball, if you hate L.A. and you love L.A. sports, he'll hopefully get you either way. It should be a lot of fun. And, of course, we appreciate you joining us on this particular edition of Scorecard Scribblings. Always interested to see what kind of guests you'd like to have. You can always send me an email, brent@scorecardscribblings.com. Once we get past high school football season, I'll be able to ramp up some of our guests coming up. In the very near future, I'll have one of the premier adventure racers of all time, who also happens to be a firefighter, who also happens to be a woman. She's due to be our guest by the end of the month, and there's a whole lot more stuff like that, in addition to the regular stick and ball athletes I love to talk to. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk to Jake Downey, Los Angeles sportscaster, sports journalist, and we'll talk baseball and maybe a little football. We'll just have to wait and see. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit PaloCedroDentistry.com. at ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 244th birthday, Sunday, November 10th at the Wind River Casino and Resort. All are invited to attend this year's ceremony, which includes dinner and dancing, and enjoy the traditional ceremony, including presentation of the birthday cake, honoring the oldest and youngest Marine, missing in action remembrance, the pipes and drums, and music to dance to. Contact Mike Gutierrez at 530-524-7595 for invitations and more information. The 244th United States Marine Corps birthday. Hoorah!
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. Yours truly, Brent Weber here, and it's fun to talk to longtime friend and colleague of mine, Jake Downey, JD Newsy, love to call him. Jake is a Los Angeles area sportscaster, sports writer, and dialed in on the history of I love to call him an L.A. sports history buff. Also, Jake and I have covered high school sports together over the decades, maybe not decades. Yeah, I guess probably has been decades. And currently he's of course, still a contributor to Max Preps. Jake, joining me in the middle of baseball season, so we can talk a little bit about that at first. How's it going down there, Jake?
Hey, Webby, great to be with you and talk sports with you as always.
So let's get the – I hear the dogs are there. I got my dogs here. That's how we roll. Jake has beautiful chocolate labs, who I have spent much time with. Let's start, though, with the Southern California pain of the Dodgers and the great season and the way it ended.
Yeah, that was hard. And, you know, I haven't covered the Dodgers a lot in recent years, but I am a season ticket holder, and so I was looking forward to this postseason like a lot of Dodger fans were, and it ended two series short. I must admit that I was at the game where they got knocked out, and by the time Harry Kendrick hit home plate on that grand slam, I had shaken hands with the Nationals fan behind me and was on my way to the parking lot.
Which is really hard to do considering you're a guy who, as a fan, has made it an annual sojourn, I guess. I don't know how many times you've done it, to actually walk to the stadium from where you live. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've now walked to Dodger Stadium from my house twice, which is an 11-mile romp, minus the dogs. My buddy Matt and Dick and Greg all went with me, and I have to fess up to a little bit of cheating in that we walked 4 miles to the subway station at Universal Studios, get on the train and take it through the mountain for about a couple miles, and we get off in Hollywood and then walk the 7 miles down Hollywood Boulevard to Sunset Boulevard to the stadium. One of the reasons for doing that is that there's no sidewalks when you head over the Cahuenga Pass. So as much as I wanted to walk the whole way, I didn't really want to dodge cars on the side of the road.
What was the What has been the response to people going by? I mean, they just think you're a guy walking. People picked up on what you're doing.
You know, the first time I did it, I walked the first leg myself, and then met up a couple college buddies in Hollywood, and those guys were more interested in a pub crawl than walking to the game. It was that time. The first time I ever did it was Game 3 of last year's World Series, which turned into the 18-inning game, the longest game in World Series history. The first time I had ever been at Dodger Stadium after midnight when Max Muncy ended the game with that home run. And to put it another way, I've been going to Dodger Stadium since 1972, never been there at midnight, and most weeknight games start at 7:10. So that would make it a 4 hour and 50 minute game. Well, this game started at 5:15 and went to like 12:30 something. So it went 7+ hours, and 18 innings is just, as much as I love baseball, don't get me wrong, baseball is my game, but that was a lot of baseball. And I can slice it even another way for you. My tickets are way up top in the nosebleeds, but that night I was by myself. So I just went down and, you know, walked around the field level, and, there's better food options down on the ground floor. And, I ended up sitting, down in the left field corner, and I said, oh, you know, I better get back to the top deck where my seats are because my buddy's going to give me a ride home. Yeah, I walked to the stadium, but by no means was I going to walk home from the stadium. And, so I went back to my seats in the top deck in the eighth inning after watching what I thought was the entirety of the game down below. And then I sat in my seats for another 10 innings.
I'm glad you decided not to, that you never really planned to walk back. That would have not, that would have been the longest day ever. We probably would not be talking today.
Right. You know, like I have a counter on my phone, and I think it was 28,000 steps and 13 miles. So by the time the day was done, it was, you know, not on the order of Hillary ascending Everest, but it felt like a personal milestone for me to walk to Dodger Stadium. And I'm glad I did it. I had a sense of pride. Certainly people have walked longer. People have run longer. But for me, it was something I always wanted to do, and I was glad I did it. And, of course, I was shameless about putting it on social media, and a lot of my friends said, I want to do that. And next time turned out to be the following opening day of this season back in March, and my buddies Matt, Vic, and Greg went with me. And it was certainly more enjoyable to leave the house with three other guys and have someone to talk to and to share the journey with. Vic and I both had boys who played at Toluca Baseball. We walked past the baseball league where our kids played and just continued the journey. The other thing I would say is when you walk to Dodger Stadium from where I live, you do not see the cookie-cutter suburbia view of L.A. You definitely get a taste of the colorful underbelly of Los Angeles walking down Hollywood Boulevard to Sunset Boulevard to Vin Scully Avenue. And, you know, I grew up here. I love L.A., and it's a great town. And, you know, my folks grew up here, and so I'm fairly entrenched. But sometimes it's great to get out and walk and see parts of town that you haven't seen before. And a lot of places that I saw on foot, I had seen before in the car, but it's not the same thing.
We're talking to Jake Downey, my friend and a longtime sportscaster, sports journalist in Los Angeles. I don't want to belabor the Dodgers. There are a lot of Dodgers fans here in the North State, but that you watched them a lot as a fan over the years. Of course, you've covered them too. But what happened? Why did that team that won 106 games outscored opponents by 273 runs? Why did they lose?
Well, you know, I've always been a big fan of Moneyball, and in reading that book 1,000 years ago, I said this book's going to blow the doors off of baseball and really change things, and it had all the effects that I assumed that it would when I was reading that in like 2001, 2002. And one quote that I remember from Billy Beane, because they were asking him why the A's were so good in the regular season but couldn't do much in October. And he said, my stuff doesn't work in the postseason. and he said a stronger word than stuff, but this is the radio. And the point is that in baseball, over 6 months, things have a way of evening out, and the best teams usually win because you can't really hide mistakes and make up for a shortfall of talent with hustle and grit and determination over 6 months of playing 162 games in 182 days. Usually talent wins out over the long grind. But in a short series, anything can happen. Anyone can get hot. Anyone can get cold. Anyone can succumb to the pressure. And, you know, the Nationals look like a team of destiny. Or if I can go back to the future and Marty McFly, the Nationals are a team of density. and I have the Nationals winning the World Series after seeing how they rallied on the Dodgers, and before that, turned a loss into a win against the Brewers in the wild card game. And then they just smoked the Cardinals four straight. I have them going the distance and, winning the first World Series in Washington in 95 years. But well, you asked about the Dodgers.
And
I'll tell you one thing about the Dodgers. 106 games, yeah. First place, yeah. But you know what? They did not play a meaningful game all year. And the Nationals were hustling to win their division and try to stave off not win their division, but they won the wild card and they wanted to be the home team in the wild card. They were playing tough, meaningful games to hold their spot. The Dodgers didn't have one meaningful game all year to play. The first meaningful game they played was the first game of the playoffs. And there's no stimulation for hunger.
Right.
And last year the Dodgers tied for the division with the Rockies and played a game 163. But that meant that the last couple weeks of the season, they were playing meaningful games every day and
right.
looking at the standings and saying, you know, every game counts. And I don't think that there's any substitute for that. And the Dodgers did roll through the first two rounds of the playoffs, beating Atlanta and then Milwaukee in like a gut punch of a seven game series, even though they came up short against the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
But this year they didn't have any meaningful competition. And part of that is that a lot of the National League West, this may be hard to say, but I don't know how much of the National League West is playing to win. You know, I think the Padres are kind of at the end of their rebuild. The Giants are maybe in the middle of theirs. The D-backs, by shedding Greinke and Goldschmidt, are kind of undergoing a rebuild of their own. And the Rockies were good in 2018, but then they took a step back. So what kind of competition did the Dodgers have in the NL West? And, again, it goes back to playing meaningful games. They played half their games against those four teams, and those four teams, all of them weren't very good. And you might make the case that only the Rockies were not in a rebuild.
Right. We're talking to Jake Downey, talking baseball. We'll let him. We'll quit picking the scab of this Dodgers season, Jake, when we come back. But we'll talk more about what we've seen, the game in general. I want to get your take on the baseball this year and more when we return. We're talking to Jake Downey, Los Angeles sportscaster, and this is Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber.
Signs, that's right, Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs,
we do them.
Vehicle wraps,
we do them.
If it's a sign,
we do them.
Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob, could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them in other sign shops' cans. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents The Rocky Horror Show, its first production at their new theater at 2613 Bocelli Lane in Reading. This cult classic tells the musical tale of the newly engaged Brad and Janet, who get caught in a storm near the home of Dr. Frankenfurter and are in for a wild night of misadventure. The Rocky Horror Show, on stage at Axiom Repertory Theater October 17th through Halloween. Full audience participation is encouraged. Axiom's next stage is here, and it's here thanks to you. Tickets and information at axreptheater.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
A Christian Finnish politician is under pre-trial investigation for an alleged, quote, hate crime. You see, the politician went to Facebook to post a Bible verse that opposes same-sex relationships to condemn the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland's LGBT support.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received the call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for joining us. Joining me from SoCal is Jake Downey, longtime sportscaster, longtime colleague and friend of mine. And we've been talking baseball with the playoffs coming. He's a huge Dodgers fan, and we're talking a little bit about the pitching. I wanted to start though with you just picked up your son Charlie from school, and there is a connection in this American League Championship Series with Charlie's school. What is that?
Yeah, he's a sophomore playing water polo and baseball at Sherman Oaks Notre Dame. And that is the alma mater of Yankees outfielder Giancarlo Stanton, who is a three-sport everything at Notre Dame. I think he graduated in 07. He played football, basketball, and baseball.
That has not really been a factor in this ALCS yet, right? He was the biggest. He was a huge signee with the Yankees last year.
He was. And, you know, he was a National League MVP with the Marlins and came to the Yankees for a record sum, but has not been a factor. I think he's been beset by injuries, but he's also the kind of player that could erupt at any moment.
Now, he would have to erupt if in the lineup. I know injuries have been keeping him out tonight, and this is why I still hold to Houston being my pick. I had it Houston and the Dodgers in a rematch. Now I think clearly it's, we know who Houston's going up against, right? Houston and the Nationals, a.k.a. not the Senators, in the World Series, since Washington has already advanced
You know, I even though the my great Atlanta Braves teams did it once, so it kind of throws into my theory that if you have three great starting pitchers, you're going to be tough to beat in the playoffs. Dodgers lost.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, the Astros looked like they got more formidable when they got Zach Greinke. And Greinke was a quite solid third starter for the Stros down the stretch. But they really got him for the postseason. He has not performed to that level in the postseason. But the Astros with those three arms clearly Cole at one, Verlander at two, and Greinke at three are a formidable 1-2-3 punch that stacks up quite nicely if they get to the World Series against the Nationals, who clinched last night.
Well, and we've talked about this before, but, and the Yankees could still do it. All they have to do is, you know, what, win 3 of 4, which baseball, anybody, don't want to say anybody, but anybody could do that in the major leagues. But they are once again, as if, again, not picking on your Dodgers, but you know, money doesn't buy you championships. And in general, it can buy you a player that can lift you to a championship. But in building your team that way, that's what we're looking at with the Yankees, right, isn't it?
Well, think about it this way. You know, basketball and football, usually the one seeds are going to get to the finals or the Super Bowl. In baseball and hockey, it's just voodoo come playoff time. You just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, in baseball, money can get you to the playoffs, but it doesn't really assure you anything once you get there, as the Dodgers proved this year after winning 106 games. The Red Sox had the biggest payroll in baseball last year and actually ran the table and won the trophy, but that doesn't always happen. It as often as not, is a wild card. And look at the Nationals, who won the wild card game improbably. I watched that game, and they looked like they were cooked, and then they turned it around on one play in the eighth. And so anything can happen in October baseball, and usually does.
We're talking with Jake Downey. One thing I hinted at I would like to talk to you about, well, a couple of things. First of all, I was really looking forward to the possibility of Christian Yelich taking on the Dodgers, you know, and all that would have meant with that. And when he got injured and we knew he was out, the Brewers still made it. You know, they're like that Tampa team you mentioned, or the Tampa Bay team you mentioned, or some of these others that, you know, play good baseball and get there. But once they lost Yelich, who is truly one of the special players playing in a small market, I wasn't as interested in, you know, he's special.
Yeah. He was on an MVP course until he got hurt. Who knows if he won't get a lot of votes for it anyways. And, you know, it is hard for small market teams to hang on to their stars or, you know, get the most out of them once they get to free agency. It is rare for a player to give a hometown discount, and you can't blame them. You only get one chance to be a premier free agent in this game, and so you definitely have to cash in. And given that pitchers are throwing harder and harder, the careers of hitters are lasting less and less. Now that you have relievers coming out of the pen that routinely throw up towards three digits, you have hitters into their mid-30s who just can't get around on the fastball like they used to. So you're just seeing a shorter shelf life for position because you need the lightning-quick reflexes to adjust to a three-digit fastball in the late innings. And that's a change in the game from years ago.
Which brings us to the change in the game this year. I talked to Bill Plummer, Big Red's machine catcher and backup catcher, we got to be honest about that, and former big league manager. And like a lot of old baseball veterans, he poo-pooed the idea that the baseball was different this year. You know, guys are stronger, they're throwing faster, I can't back that up. The baseball's different. Do you agree?
Well, I haven't held it. I don't know how to compare it. I can only go on what players are saying, and a lot of players believe it's different. And there even seems to be a difference between the baseballs of the regular season and the postseason. There's been pitchers that said that the seams are different and they can't get the same grip on the postseason baseball.
Which is interesting. In baseball, of course, What I've read is that they deny that, that all the balls are just come from the same batch and they're just stamped for the postseason. Does this hurt baseball if ultimately next year we see home runs, you know, go back down to a post-steroidal era? I dare to make that comparison, but I don't mean to. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they go back to normal, does it hurt baseball? The reputation anyway?
There's the core of passionate fans who are going to love the game. No matter whether it's 2-1 or 18-17. But I would imagine that offense gooses interest in the game for the casual fan. But I would say generally the fundamentals are strong. I mean, baseball is making more money than they ever have. To give you an idea, when there was the strike 25 years ago in 1994, the total pot of revenues that the 26 teams were fighting over, 28 teams were fighting over, was $2 billion. And now, 25 years later, after the players supposedly ruined the game with the strike, or the players and the owners ruined the game with the strike, there's now like $10.5 or $11 billion annually in the game in
wow.
revenues. So they're fighting for a five times bigger pie 25 years after they supposedly struck or were locked out and that the game was going to die in the vine because nobody watches baseball. So I am a believer in the resilience of the great American game, despite what its stewards managed to do to damage it over the years and by the decades. And you and I could find plenty of examples where we might have thought that baseball was just going to go away, but it never did because it's a great game. We love it. And it's played in the summer when not much else is going on. And it's a great game on the radio and it's a great game on TV and it's a great game to see in person, minor leagues, major leagues, it's what people do in the summertime. And so it's too woven into the fabric of our culture to go away entirely. But, you know, you may not be asking that. Is it going to – are ratings going to go down? Or is attendance going to slip? Maybe. But I generally regard baseball as impervious to all of those market conditions.
Talking to Jake Downey, Los Angeles sportscaster, journalist, and baseball fan like myself. We'll be back with Jake a little bit. We want to talk about Major League managerial openings and hirings and more. This is Scorecard Scribbling. Stay with us. I'm going to call you right back.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribbling's with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret's gonna rescue you.
Pirate Secret essential oils can be purchased in Reading at Orchard Nutrition, Enjoy the Store, Country Organics, in Chico at SS Produce, Arcata in Wildberries, and online at piratesecret.com.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch, located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading on California Street. Open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit 5starbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Back to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for joining us. We're talking a lot of baseball with Jake Downey right now. I've had other things I wanted to talk to him about. Of course, his L.A. Rams and others. If we have time, we will. But I want to continue to talk a little bit about baseball. News coming this week, one of the big managerial openings and the biggest manager out there has agreed to a deal with the Angels. Joe Maddon takes a job with the Angels, and that could be the worst kept secret in all of baseball.
Yeah, and I think it's a good hire for the Angels. We have to remember that Maddon spent 31 years in the Angels organization as a player. I believe he was a scout, and then on Mike Socha's major league staff as a bench coach. So really his first taste of another organization is when he went to the Rays in his first managerial job, where he helped them get to the World Series in 2008. Then he goes to the Cub and helps them break that epic curse of 108 years of futility and wins the 2016 World Series. So I don't think you could find a more pedigreed manager on the market to fill that opening, especially if you're talking about someone with a lot of Angels ties. I mean, you can't really top 31 years in the Angels organization.
Right, and, you know, I can remember covering Joe when he was a bench coach, and then actually if Mike Socha would get kicked out of a game, which happened a couple times, Joe would take over. I've been looking to try to find that record. I remember he joked about it one time. I think he had a better winning percentage. But he didn't get credit for those. And then he was an interim manager as well. So he kind of was on the front end of those guys who were quote-unquote bench coaches
mm-hmm.
who were being groomed for the major leagues. And so I agree, you know, he's just turned out to be the real deal. And putting this in perspective, as you're an Angeleno and you know Southern California, Artie Moreno has to do something, right, to get the attention to a franchise that's talking about building a new stadium, moving locations, and they didn't play, you know, they've had all kinds of bad luck, but that's baseball. They were not a very good team this past year.
Right. No, and they haven't been for a while, and, you know, they have the greatest player on the planet, and they want to do something while he's there. And think about it this way. Artie Moreno paid like $400-something million for the team,
mm-hmm.
and he just committed more than that to Mike Trout.
Right.
And that's not even to suggest that it was a bad deal. I mean, that's the kind of money you spend on Trout, because somebody would, and you have him under your control, or he's your player. You should spend that much for the greatest player on the planet. I am entirely pro player. I mean, nobody goes to the ballpark to look at an owner. So these guys should get a disproportionate slice of the pie, and certainly Trout is. To your question about Madden, I think he's really the only hire the Angels could have made in this situation, and I have to think that they dismissed Brad Ausmus after a year because they wanted to give Madden a run, and who knows if this wasn't baked in the cake before the season ended, because even if you're not really allowed to officially tamper, everyone knows that you can conduct some shuttle diplomacy with intermediaries so that you have deniability.
Talking to Jake Downey, up here, of course, and one of the, honestly, even before all of the hoopla that your doggies in the background and my doggies in the background are making over Bruce Bochy during this season, there's a reason why he had such a heartfelt goodbye. This guy was a pro. I covered him with the Padres. Obviously covered him with the Giants. This guy was more than a pro. He treated player, media, fan, all like he would want to be treated, and I think that's one reason why, in the end, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there aren't too many managers that can claim 3 World Series titles in their career. That is an impressive feat. I mean, in our lifetimes or in present-day baseball, you have Tony La Russa, Joe Torre, and Bruce Bochy. So it is a short list. So that is impressive, and it does qualify him for being a Hall of Famer. I can't say I've met the guy. I've stuck a mic in his face like plenty of reporters. He seems like a decent guy. He's got that I just swallowed a frog raspiness to his voice that just makes him come across as having – a lot of gravitas. I actually covered him as a player back with the Padres when I was just getting into the business, coming out of San Diego State in 1989. I was interning at the NBC station there, and it was one of the great joys of my life to be on the field and in the locker room with the 80s era Padres. Speaking of baseball lifers, that's a guy who has been in the game a long time, seen a lot of things, and he will be tough to replace in San Francisco, but I almost don't think it matters who you replace him with.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants still have some work to do to get back to being competitive.
Right.
And the problem is their fans expect the greatness of the early part of this decade, and they've got a beautiful ballpark, and even as a Dodger fan, I have no trouble saying that that is the most beautiful ballpark in the big leagues. But they also have huge expectations to be good in a town that, with all the success of the Warriors and the Niners are getting better, and the Sharks went to the finals a couple of years ago, mediocrity isn't as tolerated as it might have been in the past.
Yeah. Well, and you happen to not mention that other team, the Oakland A's, who they still play. What a great, fun team to watch every year with a bunch of players nobody's ever heard of. We're talking to Jake Downey about baseball. We're talking managers right now. A little bit, you and I both have been researching and have been talking to some people. I know the SFTA.com has been doing a good job, SI others, on kind of trying to list the guys. One of the more interesting candidates, and I don't know if you'd heard this, but he would have a Southern California tie, an Orange County tie, a Bruce Bochy tie, is that the reports out of the sfgate.com are that the Giants are going to interview Mark Kotze, who's never been a Major League manager, but he was a Golden Spikes Award winner at Cal State Fullerton and had a decade-and-a-half-long playing career. What do you think about that one?
Well, Kotze was a guy who's been in the game a long time. He's been an employee of the A's for a while. It's a long list. Gabe Kapler, who was the Phillies manager until a little while ago, and before that he was the Dodger farm director. Ron Washington, who's the Braves third base coach, mm-hmm. who took the Rangers to a couple World Series. Bob Melvin, who's the A's manager. I'm not sure how you get him out of his contract there, although Billy Bean may wheel and deal for some draft picks and players, because Bean is of the opinion that the manager doesn't matter. You can go find another guy to fill out a lineup, because in this day and age, a lot of managers are really just carrying out the orders of the brass. And the list goes on. Josh Bard, who's a Yankees bench coach. Mark Loretta, who's a Cubs bench coach. You mentioned Kotze. His official title is A's quality control coach. Sam Fuld, who's a employee of the Phillies. I'm not sure what the title player information coordinator is, but that's what it says he is. Eric Chavez is a special assistant to the GM with the Angels, which I've never understood that title except to mean, hey, you know, it's time for you to retire, but we want to keep you on the payroll so you can be a special assistant. But, you know, with teams wanting to keep players that they care about within the family, but with active roster spots, limited to 25, I can see why teams want to have special assistance to the GM and keep their former players happy. But back to the replacement for Bochy, there's a lot of names out there, and whoever they settle on will be faced with the same problems,
right.
The same challenges. The Giants, you know, are still 2 years away, perhaps, from being competitive. They could surprise some people. They need to figure out what they want to do with players like Longoria, and certainly with a free agent like Bumgarner.
Mm-hmm.
Bumgarner holds more value to the Giants than to any other team. To another team, he is a left-handed pitcher with a lot of miles on him, who was good and was the most famous player in the world 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
To the Giants, he is part of their legacy. So the Giants are the team that might overpay to keep him. And, you know, Bumgarner signed a contract which was big for its time when he was a second or third year player that guaranteed him quite a few bucks when he was making none. Mm-hmm. But for about 5 years after he was the World Series MVP and delivered that pitching display against the Royals in Game 7 and was Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year, and all the other accolades that were bestowed upon him, he was woefully underpaid as a frontline starter. So I certainly don't blame him for wanting to go out and get paid what he's worth for probably the first and last time in his career.
Right.
Who his manager is probably of secondary concern to him. And I still come back to the idea that managers don't matter a whole lot in whether your team is going to win. In the Moneyball or Sabermetrics era, you know, if you run a model on this, maybe the best manager gets you 2 wins, the worst manager loses you 2 games, and say the other 26 out of 30 are right there in the middle at 0. So it's on the assumption that every guy who is a major league manager is likely a former player who's been a coach and been a minor league manager and knows the game and has a baseline of competence, but that for the most part, a manager isn't going to raise or lower your fortunes over 162 games.
I've talked about that before, and you know, I we could do a whole 5 hours on that because we disagree somewhat, but you have the you have the handle on the stats to back it up. But I want to point out one other name and go back a little bit because of all those guys you mentioned, a lot of them are lifers, but they're also guys who have been tied to the front office, who have not been like Art Howe was in Moneyball, right there. They're part of the Moneyball thing. They're part of the stats generation. Joe Maddon loved it when he was a bench coach. He wasn't just a hardcore baseball guy. So what we're seeing, because in my opinion, and we've got a couple of minutes, but what we're seeing is in a manager, you need a guy who looks good on camera, can deflect as much attention as possible from his players. Joe Maddon was perfect at that. Guys like Girardi, very good at that. And the guy who can't do that, Bochy was great at that because he was so loved and appreciated. Dusty Baker was good at that. But you see what I'm saying? So, yeah, they're assuming they are good baseball guys, an appreciation for the statistical research and essentially looking good on camera or being good with the media are probably what elevate guys to jobs now.
You know, I'm gonna go off topic a little bit and tell you that my dearly departed dad, who worked in city government most of his life, said that people in positions of authority are paid to take grief. And it's a perfect metaphor because a manager is paid to take grief and to catch the flack that his players would otherwise catch and to deflect and to absorb and to keep everything rolling. And, I talked a little bit about players being human beings and feeling the pressure and sometimes being a little fragile. Well, to have, your older brother or uncle or father-like figure out there as your manager, taking grief for you and speaking up for you and taking the bullets that you'd otherwise take is a valuable skill. So I don't want to dismiss that. And maybe it's a bit too cavalier to say that any guy can do that because there are certainly among the names you mentioned, there are people who are better at it than others.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, over 162 games, there's going to be some downtimes where you need a manager to take the incoming that would otherwise be directed towards the players.
Well, hopefully, Jake, we can revisit this again. Maybe next time we can talk a little bit about your Rams and the 49ers up here and what's for real. But I've taken enough of your time and we're out of time. Thanks for joining me, Jake.
Yeah, you bet. I'll just say this. I went to the Rams and Niners on Sunday, and the 49ers are for real.
All right. That is a good subject for the future. Jake Downey, L.A. sportscaster and journalist, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening in on Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. Join us on Wednesday nights. You can always send me an email, brent@scorecardscribblings.com, or visit the website. Talk to you next time, folks. See you in ballpark. Like a shell. Is there heaven here?
red deal, who is neither boast nor bashful. Is there really such a girl? Only time will tell.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.